I want you to think right now about what's your favorite smell? What's your favorite aroma? What's the thing? Maybe cookies, baking, ginger snaps maybe, bread baking. How about the rain coming down on a nice day? How about a steak grilling? That's got a nice smell, right? We're going to turn in our Bibles today, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. And I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation this morning. But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are an aroma that brings death. To the other, an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Now, I'd like to give a little background for this particular passage. What is he talking about when he talks about triumphal procession? What's he talking about? Well, he's alluding to the fact that the Romans' armies, when they conquered a nation or a city, it was their custom, they would take some people from that city and they would lead them through the city in a triumphal procession. The purpose is to show everybody who's in charge now. Rome is now in power. These captives are subject to Rome. They're displayed then as trophies of victory. They also would take some of their trophies of victory, some of their people, they would take them back to the city of Rome and they would march them through the street to show the people there what they had accomplished, who they had conquered. And it went on and on and on. This is a picture behind Paul's phrase, thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession. So we could say that the analogy he's using is God likes to parade his children around as trophies of his victory over sin and hell. That's the picture. The whole picture is reminiscent of a proud parent or grandparent. You know how you whip out your wallet, or these days you whip out your smartphone, you say, look at my grandson, look at my child, they're the smartest, they're the cutest, they're the most talented, right? If you've been watching Facebook while I've been gone, you've seen me put a few pictures of my grandkids, maybe holding a fish or whatever, you know. I'm a proud grandpa, right? That's how God sees us. He's saying, these are my people. These are my people. So he likes to show us like that. We, as his children, were the evidence of the power of God, who is able to take a messed up person. Anybody was a messed up person? Amen? We take a messed up person and transform us from a life of sin and death and free us to live a victorious life in Christ. Paul's saying, we as God's children, redeemed sinners, are on exhibition as trophies of divine grace. Now, we aren't dead trophies. Does anybody have a head mounted in their house? Those are dead trophies, right? We are living trophies on display for everyone to see his great power. Power to love, his power to save. Amen. God's grace was particularly evident in Paul. Paul had been taken from being a terrible persecutor of the church to being a faithful witness and a planter of churches. That's a big contrast, isn't it? From tearing down churches and hauling people to jail to building churches, starting congregations. Everywhere he went, God demonstrated his power through Paul, just as he wants to do with you and I today. Another part of the Roman victory was that they would burn incense and have fragrances that would go throughout the city. So that alludes to that same thing, that metaphor that Paul uses, and he says we're a sweet aroma, the aroma of victory. Even the people that didn't go to the parade or watch the victory march, they could hear the music, They could smell that sweet aroma, and they knew that Rome had been victorious. God has left us in the world to demonstrate the gospel to the world. Like a beautiful aroma, we, by our lives and our words, are meant to spread the knowledge and power of God for salvation to everyone we meet in every place we go. That's His intention for us. This is to remind us daily that we have not changed ourselves or saved ourselves, but God has done it all. We are the evidence of what He has done. Wherever we go, our lives should carry that sweet aroma of Christ, of Christ's love and Christ's power. Verse 15 said this, "For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing." This verse is teaching us that God's love, He loves that spiritual aroma that exudes from men and women who are living in obedience to Him. Why? Because He smells Jesus on us. We are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ. He smells Jesus on us. In the Old Covenant, remember in the Old Testament when they would have the sacrificial system, and we would read many times how it would say that God was pleased with the aroma of the sacrifice. Have you ever read that? Here's one of the many examples. They're giving instructions for sacrifices. Exodus 29:18 says, "Then burn the entire ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord, a pleasing aroma, a food offering presented to the Lord." Now, do you really think it was the smell of a burning carcass that pleased the Lord? You think? What do you think? Not really. It's because is there really anything that's pleasing about burning flesh? I'm not talking about the smell of the steak. We already talked about that. Sorry, Lydia. She's making a face. We're talking about the burning of an entire animal. The meat, the hair, the bones, all of it for the sacrifice. I don't think it's that smell that really pleased the Lord. What was it? Was the obedience and the motivation behind that sacrifice. The aroma of obedience then is still the thing that pleases the Lord in our lives. That sacrifice foreshadowed the sacrifice of Jesus. So when God was smelling that burnt offering, He was thinking ahead to the aroma of Christ. Ephesians 5:2 says, "Walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." So Christ has become that fragrant offering to God. Because He so loved us, He demonstrated that obedience to God through that ultimate sacrifice. And so for us, we need to be walking in love in order to also be a sweet fragrance in the nostrils of the Lord. You and I are called to live a life of love, filled with love. And we don't do it just because it's right. We do it to honor God, because love for others honors God. And that is an aroma that is pleasing to God. In our life of love, people should be able to smell the aroma of Christ on us. Can people smell the aroma of Christ on you? That's your question today. We must not hide that aroma of Christ. Every aspect of our lifestyle, our values, our deeds, our attitudes must clearly have that spiritual aroma of our Savior. Even when we are mistreated, how about that? Paul is challenging us to allow the fragrance of Christ to emanate from us at all times. Verse 16 said this, "To the one we are an aroma that brings death, to the other, an aroma that brings life." Now, you all recognize that certain fragrances affect people differently, right? The same smell can be repulsive to one person and attractive to another. There are some people that can't tolerate certain perfumes where other people really love it. Some may even have an allergic reaction to some perfume or something, certain smells, chemicals. So it should cause us to be a little bit conservative with the amount of stuff we put on ourselves, right? Now, you know Cheryl loves her candles. She's got some burning right here. They usually are all smell in some way, but there are certain smells that I can't stand. I walk in the house and I say, get that out of here. You know, and she loves it. But, you know, just, I mean, I'm sure it's probably the same with all you guys. There's certain things you just can't stand the smell of, right? For instance, I can't stand the smell of hazelnut coffee. Who would drink that stuff? Hazelnut coffee. I used to go to work and I'd walk in and into the lab where I worked and they'd have hazelnut coffee. I'd have to grab that pot, take it outside, air out the place because it just, ugh, it's gross. But everybody's different. So a lot of people love that. I couldn't stand it. You know, our granddaughter had a pig in the Linn County Fair here a couple weeks ago. So she was basically living in the pig pen for a week. And they said, you know, even though she was probably showering every day, after a week she still reeked pretty bad. Didn't bother her any, right? She was pretty ripe. Now, we just came from the Midwest. In the Midwest, there's some massive hog operations. There's some hog operations that'll do a million hogs in a year. And it is massive hog operations. The smell is just as massive. You know, you can't really be too close to a town. But for some, it's the smell of what? It's the smell of money. For others, it just plain stinks, right? Now, people used to say the same thing about the mill where I worked. Cheryl says it's the smell of money. Other people said it stunk. So it's all a matter of perspective, right? It's all a matter of perspective. It's either, and same with the gospel. It's either the smell of life, if you embrace Christ as your Savior, or if you reject Christ, it's the smell of death. Because you don't want it to be true. People of this world can have that same extreme exaggerated reactions to the aroma of Christ, to the gospel. Now we know, if we've accepted Christ, that the knowledge of the gospel is life-giving. It's a source of peace. It's a source of hope, right? And for some people it's that way, but for others, it's not that way. For others, they hate the smell. They hate the sound of it. Especially the exclusive saving power of Jesus. They hate to hear that. So sometimes we get shy about speaking, about reflecting that aroma of Christ. But we can't afford to just back off from being the aroma of Christ because we're called to do that. Just because people are offended doesn't mean we don't have a responsibility to be the aroma of Christ. It has little to do with our appearance. You know that you can be sweaty and working hard and still have the aroma of Christ? In fact, some of the hardest working people still have the aroma of Christ on them, especially when they're doing the Lord's work. We have a tremendous opportunity here in this canyon to reflect Christ and be that aroma of Christ here. We have to do that. We can't hide that aroma of Christ. We have to be a beautiful scent. The living gospel. Now don't allow the fact that some people reject the gospel to hinder you from being that aroma of Christ. But you know, God has called us and asked us to do something that's impossible in our own strength. We can't be the aroma of Christ in our own strength. We have to have the Holy Spirit to do that in us. We ourselves are not that sweet fragrance. It's not us. We can't manufacture it ourselves. It's the gift of God. Christ that fills the air with the sweet aroma of the victory of salvation. When we are led by the Spirit of God. Do we always give off that pleasing aroma of Christ? Do we? If we're honest ourselves, we would have to say sometimes we really stink at it. Don't we? Now, when do we stink at it? We stink at showing the fragrance of Christ when we lack integrity in our business dealings in our community. We stink when we take offenses at petty things or gossip in the community. We stink when we refuse to forgive others, whether they deserve it or not. We stink when we hoard all our resources for ourselves without regard to the Lord's work or those in need around us. We stink when we hear people, all they hear from us is complaining instead of thankfulness. We need to have a thankful heart. We stink when we can't let go of the past and we live focused on a rearview mirror. We stink when we act and sound more like the world around us than members of God's family. And we stink when we're guilty of any of these offenses found in Proverbs 6:16. It says this, there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. When the people reject Christ, because that's the kind of smell they get out of Christians, then it's our fault that they aren't getting a true representation of Christ. They're getting an inaccurate scent. They think the Christians stink because we're acting like stinkers, right? Now, do you remember in magazines, maybe they still have them, you have those little things, you scratch it and then you sniff it. You ever see those? Do they still have those? Yeah, so you'd scratch it and maybe be Chanel number 5 or Brute or, oh, no, probably not. Some flowery thing, probably. Usually it smells something flowery. But far too many Christian people have that kind of a scratch and sniff kind of way, but when we get scratched, we don't really smell all that sweet. We get scratched. Maybe it's more like that hog barn we just talked about. And, you know, so, but if it's really a Christian aroma that comes, then they may turn to Christ because they sense that on us. Sometimes there's a Christian aroma, but it's the Christian aroma of a rotting corpse, a long dead one. And it's not the kind of Christian aroma that's going to draw people to Christ. There's an old saying, and I was fishing all last week, so I got pretty smelly myself. But it says, old fishermen never die, they just smell that way. Remember that one? But that reminds me of carnal Christianity, half-hearted, worldly Christianity. It has the smell of death about it. It stinks. It doesn't represent Christ well to the people who are trying to represent him, to the people who really need him. But what does the real aroma of Christ smell like? What is that? What does it really smell like? What should we smell like? When we demonstrate love to others, all others, demonstrated love to in action, to our enemies, our friends alike, a love that sacrifices and is concerned for other people, then we smell like Jesus smells. Then the aroma of Christ can come through clearly. When we walk in holiness, but without being self-righteous, then we are the aroma of Christ in the world. Paul says in Romans 6:13, do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness. Offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. People who are holy like Jesus was holy, not self-righteous, but in Christ's righteousness, who operate in integrity, then they emanate that holy aroma of Christ. When we emanate the aroma of Christ when we live by grace, a life of grace. We live to live in holiness without self-righteousness. Is living by grace in our lives. Too many who claim Jesus offer little or no grace to other people while demanding all kinds of grace from God. We're privileged to share the good news of grace with others and to live our lives to be examples of this grace in all that we say and do. There was a factory in a city in northern France where lavender was used to make perfume. They made lavender perfumes there. Each time the workers came out in the evening, they would head home and the whole city, the people would be able to smell this beautiful smell of the lavender going throughout the city. And that's the way it should be for us when people experience our presence. Right? Amen. Yeah. In the Old Testament, remember Aaron and the priests, they would get anointing oil poured on their heads and it would run down their beards and onto their clothes. They would be anointed with a sweet fragrance, a perfume on the outside of their bodies. We, however, have been anointed with the holy oil on the inside, the holy oil of the Holy Spirit. That's anointing that will never wear out. It cannot be washed off. Its fragrance is eternal. Now, unlike those priests in the Old Testament who wore that fragrance on the outside, our high priest fills us on the inside, giving us the sweet fragrance of grace as a testament to the world and to God the Father. The New Testament teaches us that every believer is a priest. Revelation 1:6 says, Christ has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory, power forever and ever. Amen. Every Christian and every one of us is a representative of Christ, interceding on behalf of lost mankind. We are his priests. As we live in Christ, we spread the sweet fragrance of his gospel. There's no more pleasing aroma than the smell of grace in Christ Jesus. And it is you and I that are the recipients of that grace. So you imagined your favorite smell earlier. No perfume, no cologne, not even a sizzling steak, not a fresh baked bread, no spring rain in the forest, no appetizing meal, no beautiful rose. Nothing can compare to the blessed aroma that Christ has given us. In Christ, we are like the anointment poured out at Calvary. We are washed in his blood, left here on earth as a sweet odor to the Father and those around us as we live our lives saved by Christ's love. Authentic Christianity is always emitting a fragrance that is pleasing to God. Let me say that one more time. Authentic Christianity is always emitting a fragrance that is pleasing to God, even in circumstances that seem ugly and difficult. Now, there's a little girl walking in a garden. She noticed a beautiful flower. It really stood out to her. She admired its beauty and enjoyed its fragrance. Man, it's so pretty, she said. But then she looked down. She saw that it was coming out of the dirt. She said, this flower's too pretty to be planted in such dirt. So she pulled it up by its roots, ran to the water faucet to wash it off, and of course, the flower just wilted and died fairly quickly. When the gardener saw what the little girl had done, he exclaimed, "You have destroyed my finest plant." "I'm sorry, but I didn't like it in that dirt," she said. The gardener said, "I chose that spot and mixed the soil because I knew that only there could it grow to be a beautiful flower." God has chosen your spot to bloom. Oftentimes we spend so much time complaining because of our circumstances in which God has sovereignly placed us. Maybe we could go so far to say that it seems like our lives are firmly planted in a mixture of manure, right? We fail to realize he is using our pressures, those trials, those difficulties, like that dirt, even mixed with manure, that flower was planted in. He's bring us to that degree of spiritual beauty, to that aroma that he wants us to have. Contentment comes when we accept what God is doing and thank him for that. We can live in the kind of faith and trust that hangs on to Christ in all circumstances. Then we can truly be aroma of Christ that demonstrates to the world what serving Jesus is all about. So they get a true representation of Christ. Wherever we go, whatever we do, the responsibility we have before God as Christ followers is to represent him well by blooming where we're planted and living to give the aroma of Christ. Let's all bow our heads in this morning. Maybe what I said this morning has brought some conviction to you because you realize you're not living a life that's a pleasing aroma that's representing Christ well to the world. as a pleasing aroma. Or maybe you don't know Christ at all, and you haven't begun that new life yet. I want to give opportunity this morning for those who want to have that aroma of Christ, but maybe have never, ever committed their hearts to Jesus. And so there's no way they can have that aroma of Christ until they have done that. If that's you this morning, you want to come to Christ, maybe for the first time, maybe rededicate your life to Christ because you want to be like Him. If that's you, just lift up your hand this morning. We'll pray for you. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Could we all just pray this prayer together this morning? Precious Lord, I want to be like Jesus.
I want to be like Jesus.
Right now I accept Christ as my personal Savior.
Right now I accept Christ as my personal Savior.
And I ask, Lord, that you make me an aroma that's pleasing to you.
And I ask, Lord, that you would make me an aroma that is pleasing.
Amen. Amen. Father, there are some this morning who also have felt the conviction that they need to represent you in a better way. Maybe they've been gossiping. Maybe they've been spewing outbursts of anger. Maybe they're just not living the life of victory over sin that you want them to live. They love you, but they want more. They want more of you so that they can have that aroma of Christ. I just want to, if that's you this morning, you just want more. You want to have that aroma of Christ. Just slip up your hand. Praise you. Yes. Amen. I got my hand up. I want to smell spiritually. When I walk into a room, I want people to know that Christ is with me and put my flesh down and be the man of God that represents Christ with that sweet aroma of His presence. Thank you, Lord.
You know, I was thinking this morning, and it was really kind of cool that you happened to be here, Maggie and Rob, because it was of your grandpa. Maggie and Rob are John and Patty's son and daughter-in-law. And Maggie's grandpa and grandma pastored Pastor Tim and I for over 2 decades. They're our pastors, and we love them dearly. And I remember Pastor Shelton, as he will always be to me. But we used to kid that we were twins of different mothers because we were so much alike. And we just had this special thing, and I would give him a big hug, and he would hug me back. And I remember one time, honey, going across the street to Albertson's after church, after I'd gotten one of those great big hugs from my brother. And I smelled myself. And I smelled his cologne all over me. You know what I'm talking about. I think he must spray it all over the suits and everything, okay? I had the aroma of my beloved pastor and brother because I had been that close to him. Not from afar, not a handshake, but an embrace. And that aroma lasted and lasted and lasted. You know, if met up with somebody who's just come from a fast food restaurant, what are they going to smell like? French fries. So yeah, you're either going to make that face, Norma, or you're going to go, oh, I love the smell of grease. I love that smell. Loves that smell. Okay. It's what you've been partaking of, where you've been, who you're hanging with, who you're getting close to, what you're partaking of is what you'll smell of. If somebody's been eating garlic, what are you going to smell? Whoo! I think one of our sons takes garlic pills, and I think it just goes through the skin. You know what I'm saying? You just know he's been taking more of that garlic. Who are you with? What are you partaking of? If we are getting that close to our Lord, you can't help but walk away and have that fragrance in the marketplace. Wherever you go, people are going to say, I smell His presence. Let's stand. Let's stand and consider that this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this word that says, come close to me. Eat of me. Drink of me. Embrace me, and I will embrace you. And you can't help but be my fragrance. You will be the aroma of Christ. Father, I just pray right now that we would take this message to heart. What a good word. What a timely word. It's something that we all can wrap our brain around. It's that simple, but yet it requires that step of obedience, that sacrifice on the altar that will please you, which is surrender. Death to my flesh, death to me, death to my ways, my thoughts, my agenda. I surrender all. Honey, I wondered if you could put your guitar on. I'd like to sing this song and worship once again, Holy Spirit, as we just allow this time before we head out to life to just soak and just say, Holy Ghost, right now, come. Saturate me. Fill me. Equip me. Embrace me as I embrace you. Feed me as I come thirsty and hungry for you. Holy Spirit, do the work in me that only you can do. Because there's nothing worth more than your presence.